Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to God. If you're ever in the Madison area, we'd love for you to stop by and study the Bible with us on Sundays at 5 p.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m. If you have questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, you can find us online at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast as well as our sermons podcast, Madison Church of Christ Sermons. Thanks again for stopping by. I hope this study is a blessing to you.
Well, first, I want to thank Kirk Hunt for teaching last week while I was out of town. It's such a blessing to be at Madison where there's so many good teachers who can fill in and you don't have to worry about the class. I want to thank him. So I may be good with maps, but I'm not so great with math. Because I put together 12 lessons for this class, and we're in a 13-week quarter. And so the lesson tonight's going to be a little different than what we've been doing, but hopefully that you'll get something out of it. So some messaged me this week wanting to know what our homework was and what the homework reading that I wanted y'all to do. And so what I thought we'd do tonight is go through every book of the Old Testament and highlight what we see. So your homework, I thought it was a little bit too much to ask you to read 39 books of the Old Testament in 7 days, and so I didn't assign a reading thing. But I put together a table, so I thought, I didn't think I had a lot of material, and then once I saw the slides, I do have a lot of material. So I put together a table that on that first column is the Old Testament book, and then the center column is the main prophecy, or at least what I think is the main prophecy. And then that third column are additional prophecies that we see listed. And so we're just going to go through all the books of the Old Testament. I'm just going to hit a couple of highlights, so you're not going to have to see me read these, but I will leave them up long enough. We'll start with Genesis. To me, the big prophecy that we talked about that very first class was that whole idea about the seed of the woman who would bruise the serpent's head. That's the main one. But if you remember, there's several more out of Genesis that we talked about. We talked about that Melchizedek, when we read that story about him, that he was a type of Christ. Isaac, the whole sacrifice, when Isaac was put on the altar, that is a pattern that we saw. We would see that the Messiah, right, if we go back to the great promise to Abraham, was that the Messiah would come from that line. If we go move to Exodus, there's a lot in Exodus. Probably the biggest to me was the whole idea of the Passover lamb. So we have the Passover lamb. One of the ones that's quite, some of y'all actually brought that to me, was the rock being struck at Horeb. The tabernacle, Leviticus, which talks about all the rules. We have the high priest, and you see the Jewish offerings, the whole idea of the scapegoat. Then we have Numbers, and we have the cloud and the pillar of fire that they borrowed, the water from the rock, the bronze serpent who was lifted up, if you remember that story. Deuteronomy, we see the prophet like Moses, that the Messiah would be a prophet. Joshua, the whole idea of the captain of our salvation, the promised land. We move to Judges. We have the judges and the lawgiver. We move even in Ruth, right? In Ruth, it talks about a redeemer, that Ruth's kinsman was her redeemer. And so we see that. Also that the Messiah in Ruth, chapter 4, it talks about the Messiah would be a descendant of Boaz and Ruth. So we see that. If we go to 1 and 2 Samuel, we see that prophet of the Lord. The Messiah would be a descendant of David. The Messiah would be the rock. We have 1 and 2 Kings, the reigning king. We talked about these types that we would see like with Solomon. 1 and 2 Chronicles, the temple. The Messiah, once again, was told he'd be from the tribe of Judah. Ezra, a faithful scribe, a rebuilder of the temple. If we go to Nehemiah, we have the rebuilder of the walls. Esther. We have the whole story of Mordecai, which is a type that we would wind up seeing. Job. And then we have all in the Psalms. We spend a lot of time in the Psalms. the biggest psalm we all memorized, is the Lord who is our shepherd. We talked about that the Messiah would be the Son of God, would be resurrected, he'd be despised and crucified, be hated without a cause, seated on the right hand, would be in the line of Melchizedek. So a lot in Psalms prophesied about Jesus. We go to Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. Proverbs and Ecclesiastes tell a lot about God's wisdom, and that the Messiah would be from the everlasting. The Song of Solomon, right? We talk about the bridegroom and the relationship that we have that be a type of Jesus' love for us and to the church, and that we would be the bride. Then we go to Isaiah, and that's why the first one was so short, right? Isaiah, we spent a lot of time in the book of Isaiah where we talked about that Jesus would be the suffering servant. He'd be a light unto the Gentiles. He would be despised by the Jewish nation. He'd be whipped. He'd be beaten. He would die as a guilt offering for sin. And he would return and be resurrected. He would be resurrected and he would live forever. So we had a lot in Isaiah. Then we look at Jeremiah and Lamentations, that the weeping prophet, that the Messiah would be God. He'd be a righteous branch. He'd be our righteousness. Ezekiel spent a lot of time talking about the Son of Man. Daniel, we spent the last couple of weeks or a couple of weeks in Daniel, where Daniel had that vision of the Son of Man coming in the clouds from heaven. We talked about how Daniel precisely dated the years that the Messiah would come, 483 years after the decree to rebuild Jerusalem, that the Messiah would be killed. And then we had the dream he interpreted of Nebuchadnezzar. We have Hosea, right, where we see that type of Hosea being faithful to his adulterous wife. Joel talks about the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Amos talks about the burden bearer. Obadiah talks about the mighty Savior. Jonah, the forgiving God, being in the whale 3 days and three nights, being a prophecy of that. Micah, the messenger with the beautiful feet, predicted or prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem and that he would be everlasting. Nahum talked about him being an avenger of God's elect. Habakkuk was talked about the great evangelist. If you remember, Habakkuk was very distressed over what was going on in Israel. And so that whole where he interceded for his people is a type that we see with Christ. Zephaniah, the restorer of the remnant. Haggai, the cleansing fountain. Zechariah, the pierced son. And then Malachi, the son of righteous. I wanted to go through all these because oftentimes when I ask someone or we're asked, are there prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament? And I think sometimes we think of a handful. Well, there's a handful. There's a few. Psalms talks a lot about it, right? But I wanted you to see that Jesus is covered in every book of the Old Testament. And that's because the Old Testament is not the story of the Israelites. It's not the story of the Jews. But rather, it's the story of our redemption. Going all the way back to Genesis. And we see him mentioned in every single book of the Old Testament, culminating in what we see in the Gospels. So I kind of wanted to go through that real quick. I'm going to make sure, I know it's kind of hard to read, so I'll make sure that I'll create a PDF and put it someplace where those who are interested can pull it. The second question that I've been asked this quarter is resources. Where have I gotten some of my material? So there are really four books that I read, that I pulled information from, and these are those books. My favorite has been that first one, which is called it's the second edition. It was written quite a while back, The Unfolding Mystery, Discovering Christ in the Old Testament by Clowney. That's my favorite book. The one nice thing that's interesting about that book is in the second edition, his granddaughter wrote study questions at the end of each chapter, and I thought that was kind of neat. Jesus on Every Page is probably, that's a good one. And I also like Limbaugh's book, on finding Jesus in the Old Testament, and then Joseph Farrar's book on the gospel in every book of the Old Testament. So let me explain to you my process, because I want to show you a couple of slides because we do have time. So when I'm reading a book for a class, my preference is to do it digital, either on a Kindle or the Nook app, because that allows me to highlight text, and then I can quickly print out a page of everything that's been highlighted. So I went back through the things that I highlighted in each of these books, and there were so many good quotes that I thought I would share some from the book with you. So we'll start with my favorite, which is Discovering Christ in the Old Testament. So one of his quotes is, "The Bible is the greatest storybook, not because it's full of wonderful stories, because it tells one great story, and that's the story of Jesus." So this whole idea of separating the Bible between the Old Testament and the New Testament and putting a gap there, I don't think we should do that. We need to look at it as a whole. And then he says something that struck me. This was the first book I read. He said something that struck me a lot, and that is, it is possible to know the Bible stories, but yet miss the Bible story. And I think about growing up in the church and all the stories that I was taught from the Old Testament that are those Bible stories that are just so great. But then I think how oftentimes I missed that big story of how they were linked together. And then it says the Bible has a storyline. It traces an unfolding drama. And sometimes we think of drama in a bad way, but in this way, it's a positive way. It's a story. And then he says, it's what I like is, only God's revelation can maintain a drama that stretches thousands of years. And so these are a couple of the ones. If we forget the storyline of the Old Testament, we'll also miss the witnesses of their faith. The story of Jesus does not begin with the fulfillment of the promise, but with the promise itself. And those were some of the quotes there. If we look at this one, what you'll notice, it says, "In my view, however, the overarching theme of the Bible is crystal clear. From first to last, it is Jesus Christ." Though the Bible comprises many different diverse books with different stories, it is ultimately one story of God's redemptive plan for man. The 39 books of the Old Testament are united by a common thread centered on God's promise to redeem mankind, and this thread continues to the New Testament where that promise is fulfilled. So I'm going to go through these kind of quick because go to a couple of the other ones. The Jesus on every page, yet Jesus himself, and I think this is what's important, the last two books, because they focused a little more on how the New Testament authors utilize the scriptures. So Jesus himself used New Testament light to interpret the Old Testament scriptures. We don't start at Genesis 1 and work our way forward to discover where it's all leading. Rather, we first come to Christ, and then he directs us back to study the Old Testament and in the light of the gospel. The apostles, we're told in Acts 17:6, had turned the world upside down without the benefits of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or any other books of the New Testament, right? I think sometimes we forget that. You know, we have that first century church that was on fire and spread throughout the whole world, but none of them had a New Testament scroll, right? There was no New Testament. How did they prove? How did they argue? How did they defend their faith? By using the Old Testament. And they look back. That Jesus explained the good news, and I like this quote, that Jesus explained the good news using only the Old Testament suggests that after 2,000 years, we should be able to do likewise. Too many churches and Bible study groups don't spend enough time with the Old Testament. If it's there, we learn about the richness of who Jesus was and what his mission would be. A mission, by the way, which is best is yet to come. And then lastly, my fifth source was the Bible. We often talk about Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost and refer to Acts 2:38, but oftentimes we don't talk about much about anything else he said other than Acts 2:38. In chapter 3, verse 18, Peter says, "But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that is, Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. So Peter's sermon went back to the scriptures, the Hebrew text that they all knew. Look at verse 24 of chapter 3. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days. So in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, he went back and said all the prophets from Samuel on were pointing to this very day that just happened that we're just in now. And so when we look at this, we have to take the Bible as a whole. We have to understand that the Old Testament is not just merely stories, but rather is a continuous story that we see. All right, so I'd like for us to do is spend some time in Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 13. So if you'll turn there, I know it's a little bit long, but it's something that I wanted to make sure we closed with. So Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. And you remember, this is after the crucifixion and then after the resurrection. Verse 16. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who is a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and they did not find his body. They came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And so they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread." So we have this great story, right? We have this great story of these two guys who are walking along. And, you know, we use our imagination and we can just see them walking, depressed over everything that happened. And Jesus shows up to walk with them, but they don't recognize him. Their eyes are hidden. And he listens to them. And then he begins to talk to them. And the first thing he says after listening to them and them saying what happened, in verse 25, he says, "And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken.'" right? Jesus refers back to the Old Testament and said, prophets all in the Old Testament, in every book, prophesied that this was what was going to happen. And the real problem, right? The real problem wasn't with the dead master. The real problem wasn't that they were upset that Jesus had died, but rather the real problem was themselves. Because even though they probably grew up reading these scriptures, they really didn't read the story, right? We talked about that quote. Even though they grew up maybe reading all those stories, they never did understand the story. They didn't understand the Old Testament. And so we often talk about the Jews and all of that, but the bottom line is they didn't understand the point of the Old Testament. And then notice what was said in verse 27. And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Imagine walking with him along that road. In fact, it was probably so incredibly awesome, you know, I can't even describe it, that he said, Jesus said, I'm going to keep going. And they urged him to stay after spending just that amount of time with him on the road before they recognized him, right? And I just think it's a fascinating story. There's one other verse that really fascinates me, though, is this whole idea of this remarkable transformation, right? Look what they said in verse 32. Then they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures? What a great verse. Do our hearts burn within us when we open up the scriptures? What's our relationship, right? We had our young people over to our house for the progressive dinner last Thursday for dessert. And so I had to speak. And so I told them, and I even said it in the teacher's workshop on Sunday, read Psalms 119, 176 verses on what our relationship should be to God's word and the scriptures. And that those verses talk about how we need to love and how our hearts should burn when we open up the scriptures. But at some point, these two gentlemen, as they studied the Old Testament, they lost that zeal to understand the Old Testament, and it was explained to them again along this road, and it excited them so much that they just made it to the town they were going, and then they turned around and went back to Jerusalem, right? The Old Testament scriptures, things that they should have known if they were Jews, which we're assuming they are Jews, opened up, and they were in awe, and they were amazed, and they were overwhelmed all at one time. That should be our goal, right? As a Bible student, as we study the Bible, our goal should be that as we study, we're going to wind up being in awe, we're going to be amazed, and probably sometimes we'll even be overwhelmed with what we learn from the scriptures. So let's talk a little bit about the Old Testament. Oftentimes we think the Old Testament is like a national history of the Jews or the Israelites. You know, usually when you read a national history about some country, the country isn't judged, it isn't rebuked, isn't talked bad about. But yet when we read the Old Testament, how many times is it mentioned how the Jews didn't do these things? It's not, even though it gives us a history, it's not a history about them. It's not, that's not its focus. And hopefully in this quarter, we've pulled that out. We can't tell the New Testament story without talking about the Old Testament story. How do we know that we're separated from God? Well, we know that by going back to Genesis and seeing the separation take place. So we can't, it's essential, right? To follow that story of Jesus, we have to start with the first passages that we read in the Bible. And then we have to realize that the theme of the Bible from Genesis all the way until Acts is God's redemptive plan for man, right? That's what that particular story is. And remember that Jesus is seen through promises, through prophecies, and through what we call portents. And remember, portents are examples, patterns, things like that that we see. So that's, you know, that's kind of how we're going to finish early, by kind of wrapping things up, right? Is that we, you know, I think one of the things I was messaging someone today on Facebook, and I mentioned to them that preparing this class has really changed my outlook and view on the Old Testament in general. And so we need to make sure that we look at that as a whole. So, homework. So, as you study from now on, if you're studying something in the New Testament, try to find where there might be a pattern that relates to something that occurs in the Old Testament. Or if you're studying an Old Testament book or an Old Testament passage, try to find something that correlates that in the New Testament. So as you study, start putting those things together of how they relate. Also, one of the things I highly recommend is that you mark or highlight your Bible. But you don't just pick one color and highlight everything in yellow, because then those of you who are young, you might remember why you highlighted that yellow, but once you get to my age, you won't remember why that was highlighted yellow. So I suggest, if you don't go digital, but you have a Bible, they have these great things called inductive Bible study kits, where you get 6 different color highlighters. Pick a color. For example, one of those in there is green. Any passage in the Old Testament that's a prophecy of Jesus coming, highlight it green. And then go to the New Testament and highlight that green. So take those colors and have those colors have meaning. So you know, oh, well, this color is for passages about the church, or this color is passages for prophecies about Jesus. It's a great way when you study and highlight that your highlight has meaning. So I would highly suggest, I use Olive Tree Digital and it lets you do that, but if you highlight your Bible to get some color so that the highlight has meaning. And I may have told this story before, and if I have, I apologize. So I was talking to the gentleman about being from Paris. And so, you know, Paris, Eastwood was small, and so we didn't have a youth minister. We had a pulpit minister and we had an associate minister. And the associate minister's role was really to learn how to become a pulpit minister, but he kind of acted as a youth minister. And so we didn't have lads of leaders. We didn't participate in lads of leaders, but he organized us to go and speak at all these little county churches during the summer, because normally Fried Hardman students would come and talk, but during the summer, we would go speak. And so I was getting ready for my first time, and I practiced, and I got up at Eastwood and I spoke, and I was just flying through stuff, and I was done, you know, like in 5 minutes. And so an older gentleman who I respected, I said, how do you get it where you don't go so fast? And he said, take a lifesaver or a breath mint or take something, pop it in your mouth, speak, and then once it's gone, you'll know it's time to wrap up. I said, okay. So I tried to make, first of all, I tried to make sure I could speak, having a lifesaver in my mouth, and I didn't get choked, so that was good. And so I go to this little church, and so I get up, reach in my coat pocket, pop that lifesaver in, and off I go. I get done, and it's like the lifesaver hasn't even got any smaller. So I thought, well, let's do it again. So I kind of summarized everything, went through it again and summarized everything. At the end of that, the lifesaver still hadn't gotten any smaller. And so I was getting ready to go back, and my dad was like, So I got the eye from my dad. So I went down and I sat down and I'm sitting there and I spit the lifesaver into my hand, and it was the spare button that they put in coat jackets. So I'm at the end of my material for tonight. So I'm not going to come back around and go back to slide one. So we're just going to go ahead and we're going to wrap up a little bit early. But I do appreciate, I've gotten so many messages and encouragement this quarter. I really appreciate all those who've encouraged me. I hope that the study's been beneficial. I hope maybe it has shown you how some of that all ties together. And next week we'll start our summer series. I do want to say something about Sundays. Our quarter starting in the Sunday, so that everybody kind of understands what we'll be doing. So instead of going to your normal Connect Group class, we will have five classes on developing spiritual habits. Brandon will be doing worship. Andrew will be doing prayer and fasting. Mark Hester will be doing Bible study. Jason Helton will be doing confession. And David Hargett will be doing acts of service. They have prepared three lessons. So they will present those three lessons. And then the fourth week, they will repeat and go back to lesson one. So unless you want to stay in one class and hear the same lesson four times, we encourage you to move to another of the classes so that we get time with different people. The whole point of these intergenerational classes is for the Connect groups to interact and the Connect groups to get to be around and to know each other and things like that. So rotate around, and they're only going to teach those classes three times, and then they'll start back with their first in their three series. So that's how the summer's going to work on Sundays. I'm going to close with a prayer, and then we'll go ahead and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time we have to study from your word. Father, it is truly amazing as we open up the scriptures and we delve into the insight and the words that you give us. Father, we're humbled by the love you show toward us that you would send your son. Father, we're thankful for the grace that you give us to give us something that we do not deserve, Father, and we're so thankful for that grace. Father, we ask you be with those who are not with us tonight due to illnesses or sickness. Father, we ask that you be with them and you care for them. Ask that you be with us through the rest of this week and be back when we gather together Sunday. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.